We shall turn again to the part of God's Word that we read in Luke chapter 15. And we can read from verse 1 to verse 7. Luke chapter 15 from verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance, and so on. The publicans and sinners drew near to Christ, and this was an ongoing circumstance. Drew near is in the Greek in the imperfect tense, which means they kept on coming. It wasn't just one event, but it was an ongoing situation, whether it was over a few days or a few months, we're not told, but the publicans and sinners were coming to hear him. And this was something the Pharisees could not brook. They could not accept this. They murmured, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. They were thinking that if he was who he said he was, then he would only call the righteous around him, and he would have nothing to do with sinners. But the Lord Jesus had come for such, and he explains to them that this is the very reason he came, for the sinners. And what was it that was drawing the publicans and the sinners? Well, perhaps they themselves could not explain what it was. They could not describe it, but they felt it. They felt that there was something different about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was so different from the Pharisees. Their attitude was, stand by thyself, for I do not come near me, for I am holier than thou. They thought they could have nothing to do with these sinners, not even look after their souls. But the Lord Jesus describes his very purpose in terms of seeking and saving the lost. Why is he receiving sinners? Is this what is perplexing them? Well, receiving sinners is the very reason he has come into the world. He explains in the following parables the principles by which he acted in seeking and saving sinners. So there are three parables in this chapter. The first is the parable of the lost sheep. The second parable is that of the lost coin. And the third is the parable of the lost son. Of course, that is the prodigal son. The first two parables, it has been pointed out, describe the seeking love of God. And the last parable, of the prodigal son, describes the receiving love of God. The father received with open arms his son who returned. In the first two parables, we find the shepherd and the woman seeking what was lost. Well, we have a parable before us, and that is the parable of the lost sheep. And with the Lord's help, we will notice, first of all, the lost sheep. Secondly, the seeking shepherd. And thirdly, the rejoicing that takes place in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. So, the lost sheep, the seeking shepherd, and the rejoicing in heaven. The Lord begins to set forth this analogy, this parable, using ordinary activities to illustrate spiritual realities. What we have before us, it was probably a common occurrence. People were not puzzled by what the Lord Jesus was speaking about. They knew what sheep were. If they did not own sheep, they probably knew someone who owned sheep. A 100 sheep was probably not very large. Perhaps one man could have owned 100 sheep, and he would not be very rich in having that number of sheep. We find here in this parable of the lost sheep that out of 100, he loses one. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? The key word, of course, is lost. Here's a lost sheep. He's wandered off. He's wandered away from the fold. He's not with the other 99. He's by himself, this poor lost sheep, which describes the lost sinner. God created man upright, but man sinned, and man by nature is now lost to God. God created man for himself. Man is God's property, belongs to God by creation, but man sinned, fell away from God, and now is in Satan's kingdom. So man is lost, and he is also lost to himself. He is ruined. He is in a desolate condition, and vulnerable, and imperiled, and helpless. Man has brought himself into that situation by his sin. Sin is the transgression of God's law. The law of God is armed with a curse. Man is under the curse, abandoned to his own sin and misery. And so we need to make sure that we recognize that though the man in this situation is compared to a sheep which is ignorant and wanders off, yes, man is very ignorant and is foolish and does what harms himself, but he's also responsible for his actions. And all of us, we will be held accountable for our transgressions, our sins against God. But man is lost. Man is responsible for his lost condition. What we have here, of course, is the mercy of God in rescuing man from that lost condition. Man, that's you and me as sinners of mankind, by nature are in danger of being in an isolated condition, cast off, helpless, no ability to recover ourselves from our lost condition. Have we come to see that as a poor sheep, In a lonely, barren wilderness, in danger of falling off cliffs, falling into pits, into mire, and not being able to deliver itself from that terrible, troublesome, miserable condition? Well, we're like that by nature, and we cannot rescue ourselves. We'll notice later on that when the shepherd comes to rescue the sheep, that he lays it on his shoulders. So he has to pick up the sheep. He doesn't gently lead it back into the fold. It's perhaps injured, and the shepherd has to pick it up, put it on his shoulders, and carry it off, which tells us that the sinner is helpless. And were it not for the grace of God, we would perish unless God himself comes and lifts us up from the fearful pit and miry clay. Where would we be? A man is dead in trespasses and sins, and that comes out more clearly in the parable of the coin. Stone cold and dead as steel, as it were, just like a lost coin. The coin can fall off a table and roll away, but it certainly can't roll itself back to the master. And none of us can deliver ourselves and of our own free will bring ourselves back to the Lord. We need grace. We need a seeking shepherd. And that's what we have in the second place. The lost sheep and now the seeking shepherd. So we read that the shepherd, this is a man who owns 100 sheep. If he lose one of them, he leaves the 99 in the wilderness and he goes after that which is lost until he finds it. So you might ask, who are the 99 sheep that this shepherd leaves in the wilderness? Really, that is not the focus, and so it's not so important that we discover who the 99 sheep are. The Lord Jesus interprets the parable by speaking of 99 just persons which need no repentance. Perhaps one explanation is that they have already repented. Perhaps these are sinners that have already been justified in the merits of Christ, and they're already in heaven. There's different ways it can be applied. Some have applied this description to the angels, and they say that the 99 are the angels, and others say, well, it's if there were such a thing as 99 righteous, but there are not such a thing. There is no such thing, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So there's different ways that the 99 just persons may be explained, but the focus is upon the lost sheep. We know what that is. And we know who the shepherd is. It is Christ. And we read that the shepherd leaves the 99 in the wilderness and goes after that which is lost until he finds it. You might say, well, what about the 99 sheep left in the wilderness? What happens to them? Is that not to leave them in a dangerous condition? No, it wasn't. The shepherds would sleep at night. They would leave their sheep in the meadow or the green grass. It wasn't a barren wasteland like the lost sheep would wander off into something that was, of course, dangerous. But these 99 sheep being together were more or less safe. And so when the shepherd leaves the 99 sheep, he's not leaving them in a dangerous condition. Now, that is not the point at all. They were safe enough. But he does leave them in the sense that he gives attention to that lost sheep. The 99 are safe already. The attention is given to the lost sheep, the one who had wandered off. He goes after that sheep until he finds it. Of course, that's speaking of the intention of the shepherd to find that lost sheep. He doesn't wait for that sheep to come back of himself voluntarily, because that would never happen. It's easy enough for the sheep to wander off, but it's very hard to, it would be impossible for the sheep to come back of its own accord if it had been injured and so on, and that's what we're presuming. And of course, that certainly is the case with a sinner. The sheep that wandered off could perhaps wander back, but the sinner wandering off from God cannot come back of himself or herself, because that sinner is ruined, as we said already, lost, dead in trespasses and sins. Having brought himself into that situation, he cannot extricate himself. He cannot deliver himself from that lost condition. So the shepherd goes after the lost sheep. And this is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ going after the lost sinner with the intention of finding the sinner. The sinner cannot come back of himself, but Christ goes after the lost sinner, not waiting for the sinner to come voluntarily. No, Christ himself goes after that sinner and searches, as it were, and goes through all the obstacles, faces all the opposition that would come up in seeking that lost sinner. Well, the Lord Jesus did what was necessary for the salvation of the sinner, did what was necessary to seek and to save that which was lost. And what was necessary? that he who is the Son of God would become the Son of Man. It is the incarnation. He would come from heaven to earth, assuming a human nature into union with his divine person. He is now God and man in two distinct natures and one person forever. And being born of the Virgin Mary, he grew up he kept the law. He fulfilled it. He went to Calvary in all of this in pursuit and search after the lost sheep, the lost sinner. He went to Golgotha. He suffered and died on the cross. He endured the wrath of God. He exhausted the curse of the law, the sinner being under the curse. Christ went himself under the curse, and he submitted to all that was in it, and he drained the curse, and there's no curse and there's no condemnation left to those which are in Christ for every sinner for whom he died. The Lord Jesus, by his death on the cross, satisfied the justice of God, and by his death reconciles sinners to God. In going to Calvary, he was going after his lost sheep, seeking and saving that which was lost. But not only that, he sends his own Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, comes forth seeking the lost sinner and awakening that sinner and convincing the sinner of their sin and their misery, their lost condition, their need of Christ, need of a Savior. They need to be delivered from wrath. They need a Savior to save them from wrath. And so the Holy Spirit of Christ enlightens the mind in the knowledge of Christ and renews the will and draws that sinner to himself, draws the sinner to Christ. In other words, the Holy Spirit puts a new heart within, puts faith in the heart, so that the sinner is enabled to receive and rest on Christ alone for salvation. That is the Lord Jesus seeking and saving the lost by sending his Spirit to draw that sinner to himself. He himself comes with his own grace, his own mighty hand, and opens the heart of Lydia so that she receives the gospel. She believes in Christ. He himself awakened the Philippian jailer so that he cried, "What must I do to be saved?" He convinced that man. He drew that man by his power, his Spirit, to himself, so that these are saved lost sheep. No longer lost, they are found. And when he hath found it, he goes after that which is lost until he finds it. He does not give up. He keeps up the search and the pursuit until he finds it. And he finds that sheep. And we read, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And that brings us to the third point, which is the rejoicing in heaven. So the shepherd has found that sheep that was lost. And the first thing that we notice is that he layeth it upon his shoulders. When he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders. Remember, finding is being saved. That is the work of the Spirit. We're speaking about what actually takes place in the spiritual realm. The Holy Spirit draws the sinner to Christ. The sinner believes in Christ. The sinner is united to Christ and saved. Now back to the illustration, the parable. He layeth it on his shoulders. This indicates the care that Christ has for his sheep, whom he saves, he again picks up the sheep, helpless soul that the sinner is, and delivers that soul from condemnation, delivers it from Satan's kingdom. So the Lord Jesus carries his people from the womb, even to old age. He bears them up. He carries them and brings them home. And then we notice he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Rejoicing. Just as soon as the sinner is saved, the Lord Jesus rejoices. And when he saves, he rejoices. In other words, when he saves the sinner, he is not grudging this salvation. He is a willing Savior. As soon as the sinner believes in Christ, and that's by his grace, the sinner is saved, and the Lord Jesus is glad. He is rejoicing. How encouraging that is. How encouraging it should be for every sinner seeking the Lord, that the Lord Jesus willingly saves. He is ready to save. He cheerfully saves the sinner from his sins. And he rejoices having found it, having saved it. He was seeking this sinner, the Lord Jesus, seeking the soul that was lost, and doing it with care, doing it with an intention of saving the soul. How his sorrow was in that pursuit, his sweat, his tears, his blood. He poured out his very heart and his soul unto death in the pursuit of the sinner when he died for the sinner. And now the sinner actually coming to Christ by his grace, by the Spirit working in that sinner, and that the sinner actually now united to Christ, how the Lord Jesus rejoices. Because he has what was lost, but he has also what he was seeking, what he had laid down his life for. And you remember in Isaiah chapter 53 that we read, he shall see of the travail of his soul. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Lord Jesus rejoices that he has the sinner, that the sinner is saved, that the sinner is united to himself. He says, behold, I and the children which God hath given me, yes, his elect, from eternity, one by one they come to him. The Father, by his Spirit, drawing them to Christ. Jesus, by his Spirit, drawing them to himself. What we also can learn from this, that when he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing, there's not a word of rebuke. When the Lord Jesus seeks the sinner and receives the sinner, he does not scold the sinner, but receives the sinner in love. The sinner who comes to Jesus is welcome to Jesus. The Lord Jesus will rejoice over the sinner who comes to him. And we read in verse 6, when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. He calleth his friends. On the human level, when someone has obtained what was sought after, when a person is full of joy because of some unexpected surprise and occasion that is a occasion of joy, there may be a feeling, and there often is a feeling, of a need to share that joy with someone else. If you're very happy about something, you don't want to be alone necessarily. You would like to at least tell someone else that you've had an amazing discovery, or you have received something that you've been looking for a long time. At last you have it. You want to share it with someone, and that is what seems to be a universal principle, the principle of sharing joy, which comes out very clearly in these two parables. As soon as he goes home, he calls his friends together and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. So the joy is always increased. The joy is actually increased when it is shared with others. Well, the Lord is saying to us here, I say unto you that likewise Joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. He says, I say unto you, notice these words, the Lord Jesus who knows what happens in heaven. He is from heaven. He is God. And he therefore is a witness to what takes place in heaven. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. So this is what takes place when a sinner repents, when a sinner believes in Christ, when the sinner is found. Remember, the finding involves the sinner repenting. Yes, it's a sheep. In the parable, the sheep doesn't repent. It doesn't know what it's doing. But it's a picture of human beings who are intelligent and rational and responsible, and God gives them grace from within, working in them to will and to do of his good pleasure, giving them the grace to repent, to believe. And the Lord is saying, when the sinner repents, truly comes to Christ, there is joy in heaven. Joy in heaven over that one sinner that repenteth. And whose joy is this that is spoken of here in the explanation that the Lord Jesus gives? Is it the joy of the angels? Well, there's nothing about the angels in this parable. There's joy in heaven. But it does say in the other parable of the lost coin there that there in verse 10, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. But notice that even there it doesn't say that there is joy in the angels. It doesn't say it's the angels' joys that is sounding forth, but there is joy in the presence of the angels. Before the angels, there is joy in heaven. Joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. So we're still asking, whose joy is it? Well, very clearly, it's the shepherd's joy. The shepherd is a picture of Christ. It's Christ's joy. It's the joy of God. The joy of God in Christ. The joy of a divine person, this person who saves sinners. It's his joy, his satisfaction, his rejoicing over the sinner who comes to him. How great is God's love for his people, and how great is his love for every sinner that repents. How great is his joy. It's the joy that is manifest in heaven, causing heaven to echo with this rejoicing, such a manifestation of the joy that it's before all the angels who are witnesses and no doubt sharing in that joy over one sinner that repenteth. Now you're asking, is the joy of God increasing? Can the joy of God increase when a sinner repents and by sharing this joy with others? Well, of course, the blessedness of God can never diminish, can never increase. God is infinitely ever blessed. But there is something that we should be learning here about the rejoicing of God over sinners repenting. It is the special care that God has for that sinner who has repented. And it's a joy that is manifest in heaven before others in a similar way to a man who wants to share his joy with others when he has found what was lost. The Lord is telling us that there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Again, who are these just persons? We do not think it is people who think they are just. It's not speaking of self-righteousness and pride necessarily. It may be applied that way, But there are such that are already just and have no need of repentance, and they are the spirits of just men made perfect in heaven. And even here on earth, some who have, as we said already, repented and they're justified. But of course, their repentance is ongoing. They're still turning from their sins, still seeking grace to resist sin. Repentance is an ongoing thing, that is, of course. What is brought before us here is initial repentance. When a sinner repenteth, turns to God, that is when there is joy in heaven. And the point is, the attitude of the Pharisees and scribes when they murmured, if they were who they should have been and who they professed to be, they would have joined in with that joy over the sinner repenting. The fact that they were murmuring over the Lord Jesus receiving sinners showed that they had no idea what the gospel was. What is the gospel? The gospel is good news. And that is what we have to appreciate, what good news is. It is the most wonderful news, the most wonderful occurrence here on earth is Christ saving sinners from their sins, the good shepherd going after the lost sheep, suffering and bleeding and dying for them, recovering that sheep by his wonderful grace, plucking that sinner from the snare of the fowler, plucking that sinner as a brand out of the fire. What news could be more wonderful? What story, what circumstances, what could possibly be more precious and glorious than the gospel? And the Lord Jesus is saying, you are complaining about the Lord Jesus receiving sinners. Well, this is the very purpose of his coming. As he says in Luke chapter 19, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. What value did these Pharisees have upon the soul? What value do we put upon the soul of a sinner? And what value do we put upon our own souls? What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The question for the Pharisees could they put themselves into that 99 just persons in the first place? That's a question for anyone who professes to be one of the Lord's people. There are just persons, and they're justified in Christ, and they need no initial repentance because by grace they have repented. And if we have truly repented and we are truly justified in Christ, then we will also rejoice when a poor, wretched sinner comes to Christ repenting of sin, when Christ has the prize that he purchased with his own blood, that poor lost sheep, saying, as it were, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And the Lord's people, as we said already, they know that they're still sinners, that they have to go on repenting. And sometimes they feel like they have wandered off again. And like David, they will have to say, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Yes, thy law is in my heart. Thou hast given me a love for truth and holiness that can never go away. It can never be taken out of God's people. They can never fall from grace. They may fall into sin, but they never can fall from grace. And that grace will still be there, an inward desire to be delivered from that backslidden condition. They don't forget God's commandments. They truly love God's commandments, and they're seeking deliverance from their fallen state and condition and backsliding. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. So they should be crying, whoever is in that situation, crying to the Lord, seek me, find me, draw me back again. And what a wonder, what a precious thing it is when someone who has professed to be the Lord's people but has fallen into sin, when that sinner is recovered. As James reminds us, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Think about what was lost and the peril that that person is in. A lost sheep, but then recovered and saved from a multitude of sins, from infinite punishment. Whether that person has been recovered for the first time or recovered from a terrible backslidden condition, it may be sometimes difficult for others to know. And yet, to save a soul from death is a precious thing. And that is part of the good news of the gospel. And whatever our condition tonight, all of us should be crying to the Lord to seek us, to save us. We're hopeless in ourselves. We may be a victim of Satan this very moment, as Satan lying and deceiving and tormenting us. But God is saying to us, we should call upon him, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He hears those desperate cries, and he says he will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. The Lord Jesus is mighty to save, seeking and saving the lost. He can pick you up and carry you to heaven itself, and he does it in love. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. He delights to save, and he rejoices more in bearing your weight than you could ever have in casting your weight upon him. He receives souls, and he receives them in love. Well, may that be your case. Come to Christ, and he will receive you. May he bless his word. Let us pray.